Today's shiur is being dedicated for Schus for Fu Shlema for Shalom Ben Bracha. Today's shiur is Masecht in the Darim, Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amar Aleph, at the top of the Amid, at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Neider, Mishais for Shabbos. If somebody makes a neder that he won't have benefit, we won't give benefit to somebody who is a Shayim Shabbos. Osir Bisrael, he may not have benefit from Yisrael, v'asa b'kutim. The kutim are also considered sheshvi Shabbos. The kutim, as we know, are the people who came from the country Kuta. The Melech Asher, his strategy when he would conquer people and countries was that he would, when he would conquer people and countries, he would exile them, and he brought them to Eretz Yisrael after the Aseres HaShvatim, after the 10 Shvatim had gone into Galus, and as they originally began to live in Eretz Yisrael, they did not have Yerushmaim, they were not Jewish in any way. At that point, there were lions that were roaming the country of Eretz Yisrael, because it was essentially desolate, and out of fear of those lions, the Kutim converted. That's why they're called Gerei Arayis, with an aleph, lines. They still were worshipping Avodah Zarah. As the Pasuk says in Malachim, Es Hashem hayu yireim, ves Eloheim hayu avdim. They had this combination of fear of Hashem, but also worshipping the Avodah Zarah. And many places in Shas do we find the Machloikis, Tanoim and Amoraim, if they considered Jews, if their geiris is considered a valid geiris, or they're not that, and they would be called gerei emes, or they would be called gerei arayus with the aleph because of that they were only serving Hashem out of fear. The Rambam quotes this halacha that when we speak about shayfshei Shabbos, it's not just Yisrael who are included, but so too are the kutim included, and the Miri actually asks a question, because the Rambam says that the Kutim are considered Goyim, Gemurim. The Rambam, Hilchas Avodim, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav, Perek Ches, Halacha Hei. So the question is, on one hand we find that the Rambam does not consider them Jews, and yet in our Mishnah, the Rambam, our Mishnah considers them in the category of Shoysei Shabbos. And the Rambam quotes our Mishnah Lalocha. So the Miri says that there are different times. And the Miri says the Bezman Hazeh, the Kutim, the din of our Mishnah that says that Shoysei Shabbos include Yisraelim and Kutim would not be applicable. And the Rambam would hold that Bezman Hazeh, they would be considered Goyim. The Karen Oira says that the fundamental principle that we keep on learning in this Masechta is that we always follow Loshem Bnei Adam, and that in the Loshem Bnei Adam suggests the Karen Oira, people consider Kutim as Yisraelim. And since in the Loshem Bnei Adam, people consider Kutim, they consider them part of the Jewish people, that's why in our Mishnah, when you say Shavshei Shabbos, it includes the Kutim. Meichle Shum. Ezra instituted that every Friday night they should eat garlic. The reason he instituted that they should eat garlic is because Friday night is the night where a husband is supposed to have relations with his wife, and garlic enhances the ability to have those relationships. The Tosfos Yontif actually points out that this halacha mentioned in our Mishnah is not mentioned by the Rambam. So the Rosh Hashanah explains, because the Rambam actually does not agree that we have to follow this Takanas Ezra of eating garlic on Friday night. He actually says that one should not eat garlic on Friday night, only in those times where apparently because of the environment, because of the weather conditions, was eating garlic Friday night considered something that was worthwhile to do. But Bezman Hazeh, already in the time of the Rambam, apparently he felt that there was no need to do so. So again, Maich Lishom, Asav Yisrael, Asav Akutim. Because Jews, as we said, because the Kanas Ezra did eat garlic Friday evening. Moile Yerushalayim, somebody who makes a neder that he won't go up from benefit from those that go to Yerushalayim when we're Oile Regal. The Loch is Asav Yisrael, because of course Yisrael, we go up, Mutav Akutim, the Kutim don't. The question, of course, is if our Mishnah is following the opinion that Kutim are considered Yisraelim, and Kutim followed the customs that the Yisraelim did, so of course, why, and the Chiyav being Oil Regal is the Chiyav Deraisa, so how can we suggest that the Kutim did not eat, that the Kutim weren't Oil Regal? So the Rosh explains, because one, as we said at the beginning of our shir, the Kutim continued to worship Avodah Zarah. And because the Kutim continued to worship Avodah Zarah, the Beis HaMikdash, in their mind, was just the opposite of Avodah Zarah. So even though the Kutim, in many ways, did keep Torah and Mitzvahs, they certainly did not keep, they certainly avoided going to the Beis HaMikdash. And because they avoided going to the Beis HaMikdash, even though to a great degree our Mishnah is considering them as Yisraelim, not in that way. Says the Gemara, my Shaisu Shabbos. So the Mishnah began by somebody making an Edom Shaisu Shabbos. Ilim and Mekayim Shabbos, if it's referring to people who keep Shabbos, my Yir Yikutim. Why does the Mishnah say, Osir Yisrael Yikutim? I feel Oivd Kechavim, even Akum, who keep Shabbos, should be Osir included in the Mishnah. In Ella, who must we be referring to? Mimitzuvim al Shabbos. The Mishnah is not speaking about people that actually keep Shabbos. Mishnah is speaking about people who have to keep Shabbos, who are obligated to keep Shabbos. And as Tosfos points out, what's the Gemara's question? Indeed, maybe, if there will be an Akum that keeps Shabbos, he'll be included in the Mishnah, in the Mishnah's halacha, in the case of our Mishnah, that he would be Osir Bahano. So Tosfos explains that our Mishnah is speaking about Stam Yisraelim and Stam Kutim. And the Mishnah is teaching us because the Mishnah is teaching us that anybody who keeps Shabbos, because Tosfos says the Gemara is assuming that the Kutim are actually not considered full-fledged Jews. But they still include Shaisu Shabbos because they used to keep Shabbos. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, so it depends on do you keep Shabbos or don't you keep Shabbos? And that should be the only determining factor, as Tosfos in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Ella, how do we have to explain that the Mishnah is not talking about people what they actually do in practice or don't do in practice? The Mishnah is referring to people who are mitzuvim al Shabbos. And anybody who has to keep Shabbos, whether they actually do or don't, are included in what the Mishnah means. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to understand the Mishnah, Eima Seifa, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Moile Yerushalayim, Osav Yisrael Amutim Akutim. But ask the Gemara, Amai. So yes, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the Kutim did not go up to be Oile Regal, because they didn't believe in it. But ask the Gemara, they still are obligated to go up to be Oile Regal. HaMetzuvim Nenu, Amam Ba'ayim Metzuvim Oisek Tani. Our Mishnah requires that you fulfill two conditions. One is that you are obligated, and one is that you actually do it. Batati Baba Kamaisa. So our Gemara's teretz, as Tosfos explains, is that we actually consider the Kutim Geri Emes. And therefore, in the first two halachas of the Mishnah, since the Kutim are Geri Emes, they're obligated to be Shomer Shabbos, and they were Shomer Shabbos. They're obligated, at least according to Tekanas Ezra, to eat garlic Friday evening, and they did. Batati Baba Kamaisa, Yisrov Kutim Mitzuvim V'oisim. Oivd Gechavim, Hahud Avdi, even if you'll have a nochri that keeps Shabbos, so the oisin, they may be shem Shabbos, but the ainim mitzvim, they wouldn't be obligated to keep Shabbos. Oyli Yerushalayim, Yisrael mitzvim v'oisin, Yisraelim are obligated to do it, and they actually fulfill it when we have the opportunity to be oyli regel. Kutim mitzvim, they're obligated to do it, because again, as I said, our Mishnah is of the opinion that kutim are geri emes, but it's not something that they actually, v'ainim oisin, they actually don't fulfill. Says the Mishnah, Koinim she'enenen l'bnei noyach, if somebody makes a neder that I won't have benefit from the bnei noyach, the loch is mutter b'Yisrael, he's allowed to have hanov from Yisrael, v'asa b'edekachavim. And ask the Gemara immediately, v'Yisrael minofach miklav bnei noyach. Bnei noyach are all of the inhabitants of the world. So why are Yisrael excluded? And says the Gemara, kiven the igdish Avram, at the moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Avram Avinu, as we say every morning, b'chat b'Avram etzosu slovavoy nemel fenecha, eskrael shmei. Klal Yisrael are considered b'nei Avram, they're not considered b'nei Noyach. And that's why the b'nei Noyach, we are now considered b'nei Avram, and we're no longer considered b'nei Noyach. The Rosh explains it's based on the pasuk Zera Avram Oavai, that we are called Zera Avram because HaKadosh Baruch, because he showed love to Hashem and Hashem showed love to him. So there's a very interesting discussion here in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed, based on some Sefer, based on the Michas Chinuch. We know that a Jewish boy, a Jewish girl, become Bar or Bas Mitzvah, a Bas Mitzvah at 12, Bar Mitzvah at 13. A non-Jew, these shiurim don't apply by non-Jews. And at what point is an akum chayiv in the zayim b'nei mitzvahs? So the achroinim all discuss that they become mechuyiv in the zayim mitzvahs b'nei noyach when as soon as they have the mental and physical capacity to fulfill those mitzvahs. So the question now is, if every Jew is considered b'nei noyach, so wouldn't the halacha be that a Jewish boy should obligate in mitzvahs, in the Zayim mitzvahs, b'nei noyach, at the same age as a b'nei noyach? Particularly because there's a concept often cited in Shas that miki midi dosa b'nei noyach umutu b'Yisrael. Can there be a halacha that only applies, that is more stringent by Akum than it is by Yisrael? So if you'll have a boy, a girl, 7, 8 years old, already certainly mentally have the mental capacity to keep the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, and the din of Shiurim doesn't apply by Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, they would be obligated to keep the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. And we're going to say that a Jewish boy waits till 12 or 13. So there's a strong reason to assume that in the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, it shouldn't be applicable to Bar Abbas Mitzvah. But particularly based on our Gemara, once we've established in our Gemara that by Klal Yisrael with Zera Avram Oyavai, we follow, we have our own rules. We're B'nai Yisrael. And therefore, as Rabbi Yonis and Eipschitz I saw explains, our mitzvahs, the time that we're obligated to do mitzvahs, and the time that we may not violate Averis, is when a boy is 13, when a girl is 12, because the Yetzer Tov only comes to a Jewish girl or Jewish boy when they become Bar or Bas Mitzvah. And therefore, before that, they're not obligated in mitzvahs. Because as I saw Rabbi Yonasan Eipschitz, when he became Bar Mitzvah, somebody asked him, till today you didn't have a Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Hara enters one body as soon as he's born. So how did you avoid doing Averis? How did you do mitzvahs? You didn't have a Yetzer Tov to encourage you to do mitzvahs. You didn't have a Yetzer Tov to discourage you from doing Averis. So he said, the Pasuk says, V'shvatem tzedek ben ishu ben reyu. And the Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin uses this Pasuk to teach us that osla dayin shlishma din kodim shirav bal din chaveroi. An honest din Torah requires that both parties be there at the same time. So he said, every time the Yetzer Hara would encourage me to do an Aveira, I would say, I can't listen to you because I don't yet have a Yetzer Tire. So as far as this halacha, we have now an interesting question. And he, in fact, says it's a machloikus apaiskim. On one hand, our Gemara teaches us that we are Bnei Avram, and the halachas that apply to the Bnei Noach would not apply to the Akum, and vice versa. On the other hand, we have this concept of Mi'ikamidi. There's the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tuf Kuf Tzadik Aleph Siv Zayin says, when we say on Rosh Hashanah, by Musaf Rosh Hashanah, we say Zechroinus. So he says that by the Zechroinus, we should say Vakedus Yitzchak Hayoim Lazarus Shayakov Berachim Tiskor. So Shulchan Aruch says that that's inappropriate because the halacha is that that's called Mishanim Mat Beish Tovach Chachamim. That Chazal established what is the proper nusach, and saying that nusach is not the nusach that Chazal instituted in our tefillas, because he says the pasuk, as we're going to learn now, the Gemara says b'Yitzchak v'lo kol Yitzchak. So not all Jews, that obviously only means the children of Yitzchak, and that's why the Mishnah says if somebody says Shenein nana lezer Avram, I don't have benefit from Zer Avram. Also, Yisrael or Mutter by the Kachavim. He's also in the Yisrael and he's Mutter of the Kachavim. Even though Bnei Yishmael and Esav are considered Zer Avram, but they're not connected to Avram Avinu. And since they're not connected to Avram Avinu, they're not considered Zer Avram. Ask Mavriki Yishmael, isn't Yishmael Zer Avram? Answers the Gemara, the pasuk says, "Ki b'Yitzchak l'kol chazara," only Yitzchak's children are considered Zer Avram, not anyone else. Eke Esav, Esav was the son of Yitzchak. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, "B'Yitzchak v'loy kol Yitzchak," not all of Yitzchak. That means the Bnei Esav and the Bnei Yishmael are excluded. So as I just said, the Shas Rivash discusses Siman Lamed Ches. What happens on the Rosh Hashanah? Should we say Vakedus Yitzchak Hayoyim Lazer Yaakov Tiskar? Is it appropriate or not? Some say we shouldn't say it, and it's very much based on what we last learned in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah and Gemara just taught us that when we say Vakedus Yitzchak, it automatically includes only Zera Yaakov, and that's why the halacha is, according to Shulchan Aruch and the Rivash, it would not be said. The Taz, however, over there disagrees. And the Taz says specifically when it comes to davening, one has to be as clear as possible. And therefore, saying this in a more explicit way, Lazarus Yishol Yaakov Hayoyim Berachim Tiskor, represents something that is much clearer, and since it's much clearer, that's why we should say it. It's interesting, the Rav Hutner Zatzal, in his Sefer Pach Yitzchak on Sukkos, quotes the Rambam in the Shas HaTshuvos Per Hador, who actually differentiates between the Notzrim and the Ishmaelim. He says, it's very interesting, the Notzrim follow the Old Testament. The Ishmaelim don't follow. Why? So he explains, Esav never didn't accept Torah Shebiksav. He said, and therefore, he says, Esav, as we know, wanted the brachas from Yitzchak. Esav considers himself as a Yisrael. And since Esav considers himself a Yisrael, that's why he believes the Torah Shebiksav belongs to him as well. They don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh because there's no Torah Shebal Peh that said explicitly. So Yishmael never was connected to Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebiksav. As our Gemara very much indicates, our Gemara indicates that Esav is closer than the Yishmaelim to our way of to being part of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Notzrim kept Torah Shebichtav and the Yishmaelim did not even accept Torah Shebichtav. Says the Mishnah, if somebody makes the following nether, Sheini Nenem Yisrael, he makes a nether that I won't have benefit from Yisrael. So now he has an issue. If he's going to buy something from a Jew, he's going to have the issue that he's benefiting. So what he has to do is he has to buy Lekech B'Yoser. He has to spend more than the price, than the regular price. So he's not benefiting. He's paying more than it should be. Or Meicher, and if he sells product to a Jew, he has to charge less. And the Ran Express, that's only in a case where he made a nether that she won't have a nor from Yisroel. So therefore, he's not violating the nether by charging less or more. But says the Ran, in a case where he said in a specific chafetz, a specific object, or all objects that belong to a Jew should be offered to him, and that in that case, says the Ran, he wouldn't be able to sell for more or less. Because there, the Isser wasn't on the person. This was on the object. And if the Isser is on the object, then he can't have enough from it under any circumstances. The Ran discusses what when somebody made the nether that he won't benefit from a Jew, the Mishnah just taught us that Lekech Mepachos Amoicha B'Yosser. The question that the Ran discusses, what would be about different assets that were bought by the Jew after he made the nether? Is that considered Dovish Labalaylam? So again, the Ran differentiates. He says, if you're making a nether on a specific object, so if that object is not yet in the world, we have the concept that we've often discussed in the Shiurim of a Dovish Labalaylam. Here, it's not on the object that you made the nether. The nether was made on the person. Just the person's objects are something that you're not allowed to have a know from. When the nether was made on the person, not on the object, says the Ran, there it would not be considered a Dovish Labalaylam. Continues the Mishnah. Yisrael Nenemli, if he made a nether, then no Jew may have a know from me. Then the Aloch is Lekech B'Pachos. He's allowed to do business with other Jews only if he's going to buy for less than the price, and only if Meicha B'Yoser. Because then he's seeing a real benefit. However, in Shemeloi, there's nobody that's going to agree to that. Just because somebody made such a nether, nobody's going to want to buy for less or sell for, or nobody's going to be willing to pay more than what it's worth just because he made such a nether. The Rosh, however, has a different girsa. The Rosh says, Im Shemeloi, he says that if you'll find somebody that would be willing to do so, fantastic. But the Rosh says, it's obviously highly unlikely that you're going to find such an individual. Sheni Nenin Lohem V'Hein Li, if he makes the nether that I may not benefit from Jews, nor may they benefit from me, he has no option, but only Yenelav D'Kachavim, he only could do business with Nachrim. There are three types of objects, Schaira, that are sold. Merchandise that is sold. There's something called Harifa, there's something called Metzia, and there's something called the Rame Al Ape, which is very inferior merchandise. Zvina Harifa is something that many people want to buy. Even if you sell that merchandise at the proper price, the seller is not really benefiting because the seller has plenty of other customers who are anxious to buy that merchandise. The only one that's really benefiting is the buyer because he's buying something that he's anxious to get, and there are many people who are anxious to buy that. Zvina Metzia is something that is regular merchandise. In such a situation, when you sell it at its regular price, both the buyer and the seller benefit. The seller benefits because he was able to sell the merchandise that he's looking to sell. The buyer benefits because he got something he wants. When it's sold for less than its value, So then the seller doesn't really benefit because he could have sold it. The buyer benefits. And when it's sold for more than what it's really worth, then the seller benefits and the buyer doesn't benefit. A zivim, the rame al ape, is something that is very hard to sell. It's merchandise that is not moving. In such a sale, even if it's sold at the proper price, the buyer doesn't really benefit. Because since it's something that's difficult to sell, there are plenty of people that are looking to sell it. The seller is the one that benefits because it's hard for him to find a buyer. And therefore, if it's sold for less than its regular price, then still, it will be the buyer who benefits and not the seller. Says the Gemara, somebody took something from a seller of merchandise and he wants to inspect it. And if he sees that it meets his needs, he'll pay for it. And if you see that it doesn't meet his needs, he'll return it. As he has this merchandise, it falls from his hands. And it breaks. And it's an oinus. And the question now is, are you chayiv? Will he be chayiv or not? For the oinusim. Says the Shmuel, he's chayiv. He's considered an oinus. And Shmuel, and the reason he's considered an oinus is because he's considered a shoyel. When we learn, and we're going to learn a mitzvah shem, Masechta Baba Metzia, we know that different people who have assets that aren't really theirs. And a shoyl is somebody who borrows something. And the halacha is that a shoyl is chai ba'ointsim. If I borrow something from you, you did me a favor, you lent me something, so it's considered kol hanor shaloi. It's considered that I'm the one that has the benefit. And since I'm the one that has the benefit, the halacha is that I'm going to be responsible. So what do we see from here? That Shmuel's opinion obviously is Alma Kosover Hanos Lekechu. Who is the one that is benefiting? The one that's benefiting is the one that's buying, because the halacha is, as we just explained, a shoyl is chay ba'intzim. Why is a shoyl chay ba'intzim? Because kol hanos shaloi. He's the one that's getting all the benefit. So if we say that in this case, I'm the one that's the one who's buying the object, is the one that's getting the benefit. So then the halach is, it's kala no shaloi. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a shoyl. Ask the Gemara, we learned that our Mishnah Tanan, if somebody made a neder, shani nedem Yisrael, I'm not going to benefit from Yisrael, the halach is, he has to sell the merchandise less than its value. So therefore, he has to sell it then less than its profit. Less than its price. But you can't sell for the right price. But ask the Gemara, if when somebody buys something, it's considered that the buyer is the one that's benefiting. So now loch ought to be, ask the Gemara, that feel shava b'shava aloy. You should be allowed to sell it even at the right price. Answers the Gemara. I'm just speaking about merchandise that nobody's interested in. So if I sell it even at its price, as we said in our introductory remarks, it's the seller who benefits because it was difficult to find a buyer for this merchandise and not the buyer. Says the Gemara, okay, if that's the way you're explaining the Mishnah, I'm Reisha. We spoke in the ratio that if I made a neder that I'm not allowed to benefit from Yisraelim, the loch is lekech b'yoyser, I have to pay more than its value. It's an order that the seller should not benefit from me. But ask the Gemara, if the Mishnah is referring to merchandise that you can't find customers for, then the loch is, even if you pay its price, I'm not the one, I, the buyer, I'm not the one that's benefiting. The seller is benefiting. Let's continue. Yisrael nenenli, that somebody made a neder that no Yisrael may benefit from me. Lekech v'pachos, the halachas I could only buy at less than its value. a meicher, and when I sell, I have to sell it at more than its price. But ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah is referring to merchandise that nobody's interested really in buying, I feel a shav v'shav, then the halacha should be, I should be able to sell it at its full value, because the Yisraelim who are buying from me aren't benefiting from me, because they're buying something that nobody really is interested in buying, and therefore it's not such a big deal. Answer, the Gemara, Sefer Bezvina Harifa. The Sefer, the Mishnah, is talking about something that there are many people that are interested in buying, and therefore if I sell it at its price, the seller is not benefiting. Because if you're not going to buy it from me, there are plenty of other people who are buying from me. The buyer is the one that's benefiting, and since the buyer is benefiting from me, therefore I would only be allowed to sell it for more than its value. If I sell it for more than its value, then the buyer is not really benefiting. Ask the Gemara, Yochi, if you're going to explain, ask the Gemara, that the Seif is referring to a situation where I'm selling something that there are a lot of customers for, Pachas, why is that Loch Alekei Pachas? That I could only buy it for less than its value, Afilu Shav B'Shava, I should be allowed to buy it at its value. Because when I'm buying it at its value, and it's a merchandise that there are many customers for, then if I buy it at its value, he isn't really doing them a favor, because there are plenty of people that would buy it. Says the Gemara, Al Masnison, we have to explain, is referring to Bezvina Mitzah, the case where it's a regular piece of merchandise. It's not something that many people are anxious in buying. It's not something that is difficult to sell. And therefore, if you sell it at its price, then both the seller and the buyer benefit. The seller benefits because he was able to sell his merchandise. The buyer benefits because he is buying something that he's interested in getting. And therefore, in such cases, where if the buyer made a neder that he can't have a nor from the seller, or the seller can't have a nor from the buyer, therefore you would not be allowed to sell it at its regular price. With the Shmuel, Shmuel said that a buyer is responsible for the oinsim, and we explained that Shmuel's opinion is that the reason that a buyer is responsible is because kol hanor shelah, that the buyer is the one that's benefiting. Says the Gemara, Shmuel speaks about a case of Zvina Harifa, where you're selling something that everybody is anxious to buy. Since it's something that everybody is anxious to buy, so if this person bought it, it's Kol HaNor Shaloi, the svar that we said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, that when the person who's buying it is the one that has all of the benefit, therefore the halach is, he's considered a shayil. And I buying something that a lot of people are anxious in buying, and I was anxious to buy it, the halacha is that the buyer will be considered a shayil. So, in summary, when we have a zvina harifa, it is the buyer who benefits, not the seller. Bezvina de rama el ape, the seller is the benefit, the one who has benefit, and not the buyer. And bezvina metzia is both of them. However, all of this, as our Mishnah was quite clear in teaching us, is only when you're selling it at the right price, at its value. But if you're selling it at more than its price, then if you're selling it for more than its worth, even by Zvina Harifa, it's the seller who benefits. And if it's sold for less than its value, then even by Zvina de Roma El Ape, it is the buyer who benefits and not the seller. Says the Maratanya Kavasei, the Shmuel. There's a brisa that supports Shmuel's halacha. Because the brisa says, halakeach kelim natagar l'shagin l'beis chamav. A son-in-law bought merchandise to sell it, to send it as a gift to his kala. V'amaloi, imakam lo sumimeni, if the kala will like what I bought, anosil chadumim, I'll pay you for it. V'mlav, but if she doesn't, aninosil chatovus anoshbam, I'm only going to pay you for the taivus anah that I had, because the fact that I wanted to send a gift to my kala, even though she at the end wasn't interested and she returned, it certainly made her feel good. And that good feeling has a value. The question is that the Rishonim of course, all ask, why is that not considered ribbis? So it says that. So the Rishonim answer that there is some depreciation when this merchandise left the store and then is returned. It's not going to be the same value when it left the store as when it comes back to the store. And since it's not going to be exactly the same, that is the benefit that is what I'm paying the Tavis Anof on. Nentsu Alicha. So as this merchandise was being taken to the home of the Kala, there was an oinus, Chayiv. Then the person who bought it, the Chassan, is responsible. Because at that point, it's Kala Nor Shaloi. He's having all the benefit. And as we keep on saying in our shir, when you have Kala Nor Shaloi, you are considered a Shoyl. And a Shoyl is Chayiv, even by Oinsim. It's important to point out that why is a Shoyl Chayiv and Oinsim? Because somebody who borrows something is the one that's having all the benefit. Because the lender doesn't get anything in return. And since the lender doesn't get anything in return, it is the person who has all this benefit that should be chayiv einzim. But if it's being returned, and as it's being returned, something happens, potter. Because at that point, he's a nice soicher. He's not a shoyl anymore. He's not getting benefit anymore because he's just returning it. And he's considered a shoyl mesacher. And the halach is, a shoyl mesacher is chayiv, is potter and einzim. So if there was an einus that's beyond his control, he's potter. Says the Gemara, Hahusaf Sira, there was an animal merchant, an animal broker. He would take animals from their owners at a certain price and to sell them in the market on the market day. And the condition in the sale was that if he won't be successful in selling them, he could return them. The Shakl Chamel Zbuni, he took a donkey from its owner to sell, the Loi Isbun, and he couldn't sell it. It wasn't sold. But had the hodder, as he was returning it to its owner, itnes chamora. There was an oinus, says the Gemara, chayver Rav Nachman l'shlumei. Rav Nachman made him pay, even though it was an oinus. Eisrei Rav l'Rav Nachman. We just learned the braisa that taught us, nentsu ba'alicha, if something happened as they were being taken, there was the case to the Kala's house, yechayiv, b'chazara. But when it's being returned, at that point, it's not anymore kala nor shaloi. He's no longer considered a shoyl, and he's potter. Amalei says the Gemara chazar de sefsira alochihi. As the broker is returning it, it's still considered like he's taking it. Dila mishkech lazune, because a broker is always anxious to sell thing, and this yes, he took it to the market. He took it to the market on the day of the market, but that doesn't mean that if he found the customer at a field above the base, even at the door of the owner of the donkey, would he not sell it to him? Milay mezmalay. So therefore, he's not considered. There is no concept of chazara and halacha by such an individual. It's all considered halacha, and he's considered always like an einus, like a shayel, and therefore. And therefore, kala nor shaloi. The Rishonim Taisus seems to say that this is talking about a zvina charifa. That what we're speaking about in this case with the donkey was something that's easy to sell. And since it's easy to sell, it is the person, the broker, who's the main person who's benefiting, not the seller. Says the Mishnah Kainim Shenanan Arelim. If somebody made a nether that I won't have a no from people who don't have a bris milah. Muta Bareli Yisrael, even if you'll have a Jew who didn't have a bris milah, for example, someone who meso echav machas milah, that he died, his brothers, there's hemophiliacs in the family, and therefore if the brothers, when they had a bris milah, passed away, you don't make a bris milah on the third brother. So the halach is, such an individual is still considered a part of Klal Yisrael. He fortunately did not have bris milah because of his medical circumstances, but he's part of Klal Yisrael. But the Rishonim point out that if there will be a Jew, Rachman al-Tzlan, who did not have a bris milah deliberately, not because medical reasons. He is not. He will be. He will not be included in this case. A mutar b'reil Yisrael, a Jew who doesn't have a bris milah deliberately is not included and is not considered like a Jew. V'asa b'mulei of the k'chavim, and a guy, even if he had a bris milah, will not be included because the of the k'chavim, as we're going to learn, even if they have a bris milah, are still considered a reilim. Sheni nana lamulim. If somebody made a ned, I won't have any benefit from people who have a bris milah. Here the halach is just the opposite. Also, b'reil Yisrael, even a reil Yisrael are included in the category of mulim. Mulim of the kachavim is not considered in that category, even if he had a bris. And I saw Rav Tzadik explains what happens if you have a Yisrael that had a bris milah, but he's not observing the Torah mitzvahs. Says Rav Tzadik, as soon as you have a person who is a Jew and he had a bris milah, he's in an entirely different category. He's considered a reili. He's considered part of Klal Yisrael, and nothing could be taken away from him. That remains forever. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. And explains the Mishnah. Shein ha'orla kruya al shem of the kachavim. The akum are connected to the orla. Shenemar ki chol agoyim agoyim areilim v'chol beis Yisrael areili leiv. The pasuk calls kugol goyim areilim. The goyim are considered areilim, even though there must be nochrim who have had a circumcision. It doesn't change the reality that they are considered areili. V'chol beis Yisrael areili rave. But the real orla isn't by a Jew. V'omer v'ya plish the orla zeh kechemhem. David HaMelech called Goliath Oral, even though it's very possible that Goliath was born already circumcised or he had a circumcision. He still, because he's a Plishti, he's called an Oral. Zoymer, and the Pasuk says, Pentasamachna b'nois Plishtim, Pentaloizna b'nois Arelim. David HaMelech calls all the Plishtim Arelim. He's speaking about a whole nation. Now it's invariably, it's impossible to assume that there's nobody from the Plishtim that had a bris, had a circumcision. But we see from here that Akum, Nochrim are considered a Reilim, even if you have a Nochri that had a circumcision. Rabbi Ben Azariah Omer, Musi Orla, the Orla is something which is despised. Shinaskanaba Rishoyim, the Rishoyim are connected to the Orla. Shnema ki kol ha-goyim areilim. As we've been saying in our shir, that the goyim are all considered areilim. Jews are not areilim. Shmuel Omer, gedola mila. Mila is so great. She nichrus aleh shloish eshebisis. The 13 times does the pasuk mention the bris that Avraham Avinu was told to make a bris. We see how important bris is. And as the Sfas Emes explains, what is the concept behind the bris? Says the Sfas Emes, the concept behind the bris is a connection. And what happened is that Klal Yisrael, by having the bris milah, becomes eternally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only does it mean that we become eternally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he also says, we know that we say the Shloish Esri Midos. And when we say the Shloish Esri Midos, which all refer to the tremendous compassion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows to Klal Yisrael, so those Shloish Esri Midos are also connected to the bris. He says, because a Jew has a bris milah, we become connected to Hashem. And once we become connected to Hashem, we're zoicha to be the recipients of the Shloish Esri Midos Sharachman. V'yosi Omer, G'day L'miya, Doicha Shabbos Chamura. That we know that if a bris is supposed to take place on Shabbos, the baby was born on Shabbos, naturally. The bris is next week Shabbos, and even though obviously making a bris involves Chil Shabbos, the actual bris operation. Rav Shimon Karch Omer, G'day L'mila, Shloi Nitla, Moshe Tzadik Aleh, as we're going to be speaking in our coming shir, all of the schus that Moshe Rabbeinu had did not help him when he didn't make a bris for his son. The Torah says, if a tzaras forms on a person, he has to be careful, hishama means aloysa say, that he may not remove that tzaras. And the halacha is that if there's a nega on the makam ha'arla, you're allowed to do a bris on that space, even though it involves cutting off the nega. Rabbi Ami Gedola Mila, shekom mitzvah shos Avram Avinu. All of the mitzvahs that Avram Avinu did, le'nikra shalom, he isn't considered shalom, even though Avram Avinu did so many mitzvahs, he was not considered shalom at Shemal. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, his alech lefonai ve'yei samim. Davach gedola mila shemalei he if not for the bris mitzvah bris mila leibara kodesh baruch hu elamai shenema koya mehashem im loy brisi yom v'layla if not for the mitzvah the bris mila chuka shemayim v'aretz leisamti there would be no purpose to the world. So of course the mefarshim ask that why did Moshe indeed not do the bris mila? So we know. That there's a concept of somebody chas v'shalom rechman is sick. The halach is muta shichal of Shabbos achas kedei lishma Shabbos harbe. And Moshe, so that's why, as the Mashal quotes the Reim that asks a question. The Reim asks a question that how could Moshe Rabbeinu avoid doing the bris mila? We're going to learn that. The mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu did the mila on because it was a sakana. So asked the rain, but the din of Chai Behem wasn't applicable yet. So if the din of Chai Behem wasn't applicable yet, why did Moshe Rabbeinu delay the mila? So says Rav Michal Feinstein Zatzal that Moshe Rabbeinu knew there's a concept of muta shechal Shabbos achas. And therefore he learned the concept of sakana even without the pasuk of v'chai behem. The Rabbi Yossi says, G'dayla me'ila, sh'doiches Shabbos ha'chamura. So the question is, why is it called Shabbos chamura? So I saw that the Seif L'kuti Bas L'kuti explains that Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, you still may do a bris mila on that day. And that's a Shabbos Hachamura. Then they ask, it's doicha negoyim. If it's doicha Shabbos, then it's certainly doicha negoyim. So he says that, so I saw that the Sefer Kerem Shloimeh explains, the negoyim doesn't mean, as we normally understand it, somebody who has tzaras. He explains negoyim means that Mashiach, the Gemara says the Mashiach is sitting at the gates of Rome, and waiting that he has negoyim, he's afflicted, and he's waiting for Mashiach to come. And he's waiting to be revealed. Mila is going to be the mitzvah that because of it, we're going to have the Yeshua Bekar B'Yameinu. I saw that the Sefer Aruch Yesharim says that if somebody is missing a limb, that's considered a deficiency in the person. If somebody is healthy, it's not necessarily considered that there's something special about that person. Hopefully all people are happy. But there are certain things that are considered extra. If somebody has a beautiful voice, that's considered a maila. So he says the orla is considered, somebody who has an orla is considered as if he's missing something. Somebody who has the orla, it's not just that he doesn't have a mila, he actually has a chesaron because the mila is what makes us perfect.